We just heard Area C's track Twos, and now as I chat to Eric Carlson, we'll be having in the background this lovely long track. I couldn't resist playing a very, very long track quietly under our conversation. It's called Ebbs to a Steady Burn. Now, the album's called Map of Circular Thought, and it's out now on the Preservation label out of Sydney, a label that loves to bring us music from all around the world. Eric, can we hear you, and can you hear us?
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Good from here.
We can. Excellent. With a tiny international delay there. So I thought I might start, since that's what we've been listening to, with just a bit of a conversation about the new album. It's, I suppose, I'm not sure if you want me to use the word conceptual, but it's got an idea behind it, and you talk a lot in the sort of blurb about memory and the present, and I suppose that's interesting in the what sort of sounds like fairly abstract music, that you're drawing a connection to a bunch of ideas. So I was wondering if you could talk a bit about those ideas and also how you are rendering them in music.
Well, it's, I guess in some ways, I wouldn't say the ideas applied after the fact, but I wouldn't say that I began the pieces of music knowing the concept behind them. It wasn't pre-planned, I guess is what I would say. Most of my music starts with a sort of exploration of a kernel of an idea, and it's usually based in some interest in a certain type of sound or just some sonic detail that captures my interest, and then I just sort of start exploring that and seeing where it takes me. And then as the process goes on and the pieces of music start to take form, that it's not until that point that I realize what's led me in that direction.
Yeah, okay. But there are some thoughts that you have, I suppose, and indeed the title itself, Map of Circular Thought, it seems to be a sort of about contemplation and meditation maybe, and so is that sort of where you're sitting with this new album?
Yeah, I was, the piece of music work a lot with repetition and cyclical sound elements and looping, and it occurred to me as I was working on it that a lot of it relates to how I think about memory and sort of a nostalgic feeling where you have these pieces of memory and recollections of things in the past that continue to come back up and they're recalled sort of as things cue them. Mm. And each time those things come back up, they have a slightly different character. Either because you're a slightly different person and you relate to them in a different way, or that the amount of detail that comes back up has changed. And I realized that a lot of the pieces of music that I was working on had a similar element where there might be something that is repeating over and over, but as time goes on, that sonic element has changed and you think about it a different way because it's in a different relationship to the other sonic elements around it.
And there's certainly, you know, I suppose the music like that can be placed in a few different traditions, and I think you're doing so with the music on this album. So in some ways you're wanting to trace a sort of kinship with the what you might call classical minimalists like Steve Reich and so on, but also, I mean, obviously it's quite electronic music, and I wanted to talk about the instruments you play as well, but certainly in this case it's sounding a little bit like the sort of cosmische krautrock of Tangerine Dream and people, and also the people who are kind of doing that sort of thing these days as well. So are you kind of feeling like it sits in a particular sort of sound that other people are making these days as well?
Well, if that's the case, it's it's just by coincidence, and I guess in some ways by relates to my what I grew up listening to, and probably what some of my contemporaries were listening to. So its relationship to what else is going on in the current day is I think really just a matter of that, not as much an attempt to try to make it that. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. And there's a lot of people doing live looping these days, and but now what I was thinking of is how much this was conceived in the studio, and how much you actually play live, and whether there's an element of any of live performances that have fed into this as well.
Almost everything starts with live improvisation of some sort, and it's just usually just me sitting down with my guitar and playing something, and then once I find something that I like, I record it, or it's been recorded before I know what's going to happen. And then there's some manipulation that happens once it's been recorded, and usually that's more in the arrangement sense, and I layer some things on top. But it's almost all the pieces of music started with a fairly significant improvisation.
And is there quite a bit of guitar here? Because I guess it's not always that easy to tell, but there seems to be a lot of organ and keyboards and things. But did you start as a guitarist? You played in a few bands in the 10-15 years ago, I think, as well.
That's right. Yeah, I've been a guitarist for many years, and I played guitar in, I guess, what you'd categorize as some indie rock bands.
Yeah, right.
Many years ago. But I always had I was always interested in some of the textural things that you could do with the instrument, and I had always been drawn to using multiple effects on the guitar. And I have to say, even though I do play organ a fair amount, I would say at least 75% of the sounds on the new album are guitar, even though they're not necessarily identifiable as that.
I'll be interested. I'm going to play one of the medium length tracks afterwards as well, and an after image, and we can listen to what the sounds are there. Another aspect of your work that I'm interested in is that you do a lot of work for installations and sound art and things as well, and there's some quite interesting commissions that I've seen talked about on your site. Most recently, one that you did for, or is it ongoing, or something that's been completed now for NASA, for the RI Space Grant Consortium. And what was the sort of idea, and both sort of the concept and the sounds that were created for that?
That started with a commission that I had gotten from the Museum of Natural History here in Providence, Rhode Island, to compose some music for an exhibit that the NASA Space Grant Consortium had put together for the museum, and they were just looking for something to have on in the background of for this exhibit, and then that led to a relationship with one of the professors at the Space Grant, who his specialty is the geologic formation of the moon. And he was fairly deeply involved in the recent mission that they had to, I don't know if you heard about it, where they had an intentional impact in the moon, where they sent a rocket up there and crashed it into the moon on water.
Yeah.
And in fact, they did. Anyway, he was involved with that. But he commissioned me to write some music for what will eventually be sort of a installation, multimedia installation, that's based around the timeline of the formation of the moon. That's still in progress. We're working together on that, and it's still a little bit fluid as to what the final form is going to be. But he basically just put it in my hands to see what the sonic expression of this concept would be. And it's a pretty interesting project. I actually ended up working with a colleague of mine, Sean Greenlee, who does a lot with the program MaxMSP.
Right.
And he created some visual software that processes these films that NASA has of the surface of the moon and creates audio expressions of the visual elements from these films. So that was one of the elements that went into it. But another part of the project that's kind of interesting conceptually is that there's actually no sound on the moon.
Yeah,
we're creating this sonic expression of something that actually doesn't exist. So,
And is that very different?
New Sydney Music, Art and Culture.
That's technology attacking me. Okay, we've stopped that. Excuse me. Because when I sort of was talking about the concepts between the album, behind the album, it's a familiar kind of idea to me that often the ideas come after the musical creation, but in this case, it's completely inverted, and so it must be quite a different kind of act of creation in a case like this.
It is, and I would say it's in a lot of ways it's a lot more challenging. I had done some music for a soundtrack for a documentary on Hurricane Katrina, and that was a similar challenge in that there was a pre-existing idea for what we were going for, and then it was a matter of sort of searching out the musical path that will get you there. And yes, it's very challenging, and it's a learning process, I would say. But a lot of it has to do, I think the success of projects like that for me anyway has to do with my relationship with the people I'm working with and how their ideas help me formulate the musical ideas that end up going into it.
And when it's multimedia, do you kind of work in other media, like the visual side as well, or is it mainly the audio that's your responsibility?
Well, for the Katrina documentary, I was just doing the audio,
soundtrack.
But with the NASA project, I am involved with the visual part in terms of, in some ways, curating the visual element that will go with it, and then also figuring out how the visuals and the audio will go together and match up. So this one is more of a collaborative process. And in my installation work and public art work, I tend to use a lot of video elements too, so I have some experience with that. Those two elements, the sound and the image, in a lot of ways, I guess I approached them in similar ways. So
yeah, you have a background in architecture as well, is that right?
Yeah.
And do you think that I find architecture is a really interesting area because it's got a lot of maths and science kind of involved, as well as a lot of theory of all sorts, and so I was wondering if you feel that discipline has an effect on the way that you conceive of the music that you make as well.
I would say that it does. It's sort of a subtle influence, but I think the greater element of relationship between my work in architecture and music is the sense of physical space and your relationship to your surroundings and how your surroundings affect you, and sound is such an important part of how you place yourself in your surroundings. And I think that's the most important sort of cohesive element between my work in architecture and audio. So.
Yeah, and so with the new album that Preservation's put out, it's more of the sort of internal mental space that we're looking at, and I think it's really I started by asking about the abstract of music, abstract nature of music versus sort of concepts that might be put behind it, and I think it's really interesting to listen to musical works like these with those ideas in mind. So I wonder if is that something that you'd like people to do when they're listening to this, and maybe so that they're putting themselves into a particular sort of mental state or space?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I guess I would like people to bring what they have to their listening experience. I think a lot about how to title pieces, because with instrumental music, the title takes on a fairly weighty role because it's the only verbal element going into something. And so it's important for me to come up with titles that are evocative, but also not too specifically
restrictive.
Exactly. And so my wife is a writer and poet, and so I feel like I have a sense of the subtleties and the importance that language plays in how we how we look at things. And I like to, I guess back to your original question, I guess I like to set people off with the title in the right general direction, but I don't want to define too much how they hear something or what they think of while they're listening to it. I feel like ultimately it's the job of the piece of music to bring out something in the individual who's listening to it.
Yeah.
And hopefully I can achieve some of that.
Yeah. Well, definitely. What we have in the background, which I hope people have been able to hear a little bit of, is the last track, and it's a very long sort of drone piece, but there's lots of lovely details coming in and out of the mix, and but what I'd like to play for people to listen to afterwards is the previous track called An Afterimage, and so I was wondering if you might have any words about the what went into the making of that track musically before I play it.
That started with a field recording that I had done quite a few years ago on a trip to Southern Virginia. We actually went down to the southwest corner of Virginia to visit some of the places where the early Appalachian music was made. It was a great trip, but it actually turned out very differently than we expected, because the region is a huge coal mining region. And that industry really affects a lot of the landscape and the character of the towns down there. It was a great trip, but we didn't find it didn't feel the way we thought it would. But regardless, I had done some field recordings just along the way, and in a particular park near this amazing train tunnel, we recorded some birds that happened to be there. When I was working on the pieces of music for Map of Circular Thought, I had come across some of these old field recordings, and just in the process of listening to them, found a couple things that they weren't necessarily things that gave me a specific musical idea, but they just had an interesting character to them. So I started looping them and improvising along to them. So that was really the origin of that piece, and I was working with some tremolo effects on the guitar, and that to set up this interesting kind of hypnotic pulse, and the field recordings plus that created this bed of sound related to your previous question about where pieces of music are going and what I was saying about the titles, the idea of the after image relates to that in that I'm recalling this, the field recordings were recalling this past experience, and then this pulsing, repetitive guitar part has a similar element to it where you're just kind of brought along as you go. I don't know.
it's a movement, and we will hear it now. So thanks for getting up, I think, quite early on the other side of the world to talk to me quite late here in Sydney.
No problem. And luckily my alarm went off and woke me up.
Excellent. It's been a pleasure to talk to you and to hear your music, and it's just lovely to have this contact with musicians all around the world through a Sydney label, so I hope that it's a good thing for you as well.
It is, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, and I appreciate your playing some of the music.
Excellent. Well, another track now from Eric Carlson's Area C. We've been talking to Eric here on FBI. So this is an after image from the Map of the Circular Thought album, which is out on Sydney's Preservation right now.